Yesterday, Kristen and I went to Chicago for the memorial service of a lifelong Unitarian Universalist friend, Ann Wheat, who died at the age of 80 of cancer. Ann was a church leader for decades, a piano teacher who turned hundreds of students on fire for music and seeing the world in new ways. She was a social justice advocate with grace and dignity. I want to tell you a bit about how Ann died. A number of years ago, Ann learned she had cancer. She got great oncological treatment in Chicago. Things were going up and down. She was making the best of her life. About 6 months ago, she learned that the cancer had advanced very aggressively and treatment would have very little, if any, impact. So she decided to stop going around Lake Michigan from her house in Michigan, and she just stopped treatment and started focusing on what was most important to her, her family, her five grandsons, playing Scrabble, baking peach pies, watching sunsets with blue, gray, green hues in the water over Lake Michigan. And then her quality of life got so poor that she called all the grandkids and children in for one last goodbye, and she told her, this is going to be the last date I eat food. And she stopped, and she lived about 16 more days and then died on Monday, and we just had her memorial. Now, Anne, before, when she stopped the treatment, she let everybody know, we're going to do our unfinished business now, people. So anybody, especially who's got any lasting hurts or anger in this family or beyond, we're going to work it through right now because we're going to make the most of every day as it lasts. And so they did their I'm sorry, I forgive yous so that they could be the most present possible with each other in loving one another every lasting hour. She died with a grace and power which is a model for many. And that living and dying reminds me of the lesson that we all know, that you don't have to be facing your last chapter to make the most of every day as if it were your last. You don't have to be facing your last chapter of life to do your unfinished business and say your I'm sorry and I forgive you. And that's what the Jewish High Holiday is about, I think. Last May, the entire nation was horrified by the massacre of 9 folks in Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Almost immediately after the heinous crime, a number of the family and church members said publicly that they forgave the shooter. And folks of goodwill and faith everywhere just really that caught our minds and attention. How can they forgive? Folks asked. How can it be true forgiveness, or should they forgive? Really heart-centered questions and conversations that matter. 17 of us were in Portland, Oregon at the General Assembly in the wake of that massacre, and we happened to have the privilege of being with U.S. Representative John Lewis, who 2 days before he spoke with us had been on Air Force One with Mr. and Mrs. Obama going to the memorial service in Charleston. A man who led the Selma March, knows a lot about suffering, violence, racist violence, and systematic oppression. And when somebody asked him about this question about forgiveness, it was so fresh in the audience, heart with a lot of tears in the auditorium that night. How do you look at that or think about that, sir? He reflected by answering with a story, his own experience of Bloody Sunday in Selma. One day, decades later, a man came up to Mr. Lewis and said, sir, I am one of the people who beat you in Selma, and I am deeply sorry, and I beg your forgiveness. And Mr. Lewis says he looked in the man's eye and said, "Brother, I forgive you. We're together now." Why? Dr. King said, "Anger is toxic and corrosive to the soul." The Buddha said, "It's a hot coal that only burns your hand." People of Mother Emmanuel said, "This is what Jesus taught, and Jesus is with us, empowering us to forgive, to put down the hot coal." And John Lewis and the people of Charleston and you and I, no matter how much we want to forgive, we don't just get the power to do it. Gandhi said, "Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong." And unless you're just blessed with a magic wand, which most of us are not, you have to practice building up the strength to do it. With the people of Mother Emmanuel, they and their forefathers and foremothers have walked with Jesus Christ, their Lord, for so long. Jesus was with them to forgive. And we come out of the Jesus tradition as well as Unitarian Universalists, but many of us don't feel that Christological connection with Jesus. We have his teachings and his love, as we do with many other prophets, and we also have the living tradition of the Jewish high holidays, this powerful music, the oral tradition of people knowing they're imperfect in their efforts to try to play their part in the human drama of forgiveness, knowing we've all been wronged, we've all wronged others, and we all have the spark of the divine in us to create a beloved community with care and respect where we can all come and do our best to help each other, and I'm sorry and I forgive you. That work, the multiple roles of playing that drama of life out. We're honored to be here today standing in that line, because we know there are so many stories in need of the living tradition of forgiveness. Charlene and her sister are helping their father in his last chapters. He's becoming feeble, absent-minded. They're all grieving his loss of capacity in body, mind, and spirit. And Charlene has been angry at her sister for years about all kinds of ways in which she's been disrespected. Stuff. She's carrying that need to forgive. The hot coal is making it hard to care for Dad. Geraldo is struggling in his divorce. He and his wife almost got to the point of raising four kids up into adulthood. They were doing so well. Everybody was doing their jobs and getting the kids off to school. And one day his wife said, "Honey, I'm crushed in my heart to tell you, but it's not working anymore for me. It's nothing you've ever done wrong, but I have to go off and be independent, and I need a divorce." And his world's been, he's been spinning ever since. He doesn't know how or where he's going to land. What about you? What about you? How are you coming in today to the Jewish High Holidays, playing your role in the human drama of forgiveness? We all need to practice. There's a lot of stuff you can do. You can hold your fist and let it down. Say a mantra. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. You can write in a journal and have a spiritual friend or a clergy or talk through it with people. You can envision your future self that's farther down the road on forgiveness. If you think this might sound flaky, I'm going to check that right away, because I'm going to show the Debbie Ward example of how you do this. Debbie is multi-talented, and one of the things you may not do is she coaches pregnant women getting ready to have a baby. And one of the things she encourages, hold out an image of yourself going through this. You know it's not going to be the easiest experience of your life. You're going to be needing to breathe in and let it out and keep the oxygen moving. But the power of those contractions are going to be tough, and at times you may feel inadequate or at times you may feel overwhelmed. So just know you're going to forgive yourself. You're going to start again in love. You're going to find some trust in the breath and trust in yourself and trust in the people around you who are there to help you. How can you hold out an image of yourself where you are today going down the road a little bit? Here's the way conversation might happen. Current self says, forgiveness is tough. I don't want to, can't, hold it on. Your future self says, I understand, and I've been there. And however I'm blessed right now, I'm in a place of forgiveness, and I have more positive and healthy perspectives on life right now with forgiveness. Current self says, wow, how? How did it happen overnight? Future self says, no, long process, rocky road, a lot of practicing, needed my supportive community every time I fell and skinned my knee. Current self, is that it? Just keep practicing? Well, actually, no. For me, there was a framing difference, the future self says. I had to make a decision to experience peace and love. I had decided I am going to experience more peace and love, and I knew forgiveness was a part of it. So it was a commitment to going into this thing. How might you hold out an image of your future self? Be in a dialogue, meditative dialogue. See, most all the time you have to choose to blow the shofar. You have to choose to go to the river to throw the breadcrumbs in. The poet Robin Becker writes, "Today all good Jews collect their crimes like old clothes to be washed and given to the poor." And Robin remembers how her father held his father around the shoulders as they walked to the old synagogue in Philadelphia. "We're almost there, Pop. A few more blocks." Some days, you probably need some support. I know I sure need support from you. Let's keep going. Together, we are almost there. Blessings be. Amen.